You might find hymn number 509. We glory in tribulation, the cross of Christ I glory. We'd like to begin this evening with one verse in the fourth chapter of the first book of Corinthians. The first verse, 1 Corinthians 4. Apostle Paul writing here to the Corinthians, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Simple little verse. Apostle Paul writing about the ministry, those that share the word with us Sunday after Sunday. He says we're stewards of the mysteries of God. And a steward is one that handles another's goods. That's what a steward is. And the Apostle Paul says, I am a steward of the mysteries of God. The brethren up here, stewards of the mysteries of God. And we need to know the mysteries of God. Right away, we get all excited. That's too deep for me. I can't know that. Bless you, you can know about the mysteries of God. And you need to know about the mysteries of God. We're going to go into a little deeper water tonight, but I'll tell you this. I've learned this over the years. If the water is clear, you can see a long ways down. And the Word of God is clear on the mysteries. They are sacred secrets that God has known from all eternity, but they have not been revealed until the days of the New Testament. And they're hidden in plain sight. Plain sight. I show you a mystery. Anywhere you see that word, you got a mystery to deal with, one of the mysteries of God. Sacred secrets. I show you a mystery. They're withheld by God until the time he feels to reveal them to his people. And they are only revealed by the Spirit of God to the children of God, those that are born again. Six more today eligible to know these mysteries. Now the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Those things that are revealed belong to us and to our children, that we might do all the words of this law. The mysteries are not secret things. They're secret only in the respect that God chooses to reveal them at certain times. We have the mystery of godliness. We have the mystery of iniquity. We have the mystery of the change. We have the mystery of the resurrection, and on and on. I find about 11 of them in here. You might divide them a little different, but that's what I come up with. The mysteries, as we said, they're hidden in plain sight. I find 11 of them. There's 8 of them that are revealed through the Apostle Paul. 2 are revealed by John, and 1 is revealed by Jesus. Sacred secrets, remember that. And in our day, they're here to be known. They reveal a plan of God when they're made known to his people. Remember the resurrection? Remember the change? Remember the outcalling? We're taught in the scriptures those are mysteries. And in our day, they're revealed to us. We can understand them. They're revealed according to the timing of God. You don't have them revealed in the Old Testament. They're revealed in the New Testament. And we're not going to talk about all these 11 because they're too precious and too big to talk about in one lesson. But there's only one of them I want to touch on tonight. And that's the mystery of the church. The church is one of the mysteries that God revealed in His own good time. We're not talking about denominations. We're talking about the church of Jesus Christ. Two classes of people that hate each other. The Jew and the Gentile. And they come into one body, the body of Christ, the church. That's the mystery of the church. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Now, don't be afraid of it. It's all right. We're not going anywhere we can't see the bottom. Remember that. It's not that hard, and we need to know it. It's good for us to know it. Let's sing this hymn here, 509. Align each verse in the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. From the woes of life, Lord, take me. Hopes deceive and fears annoy. Never shall the cross forsake me, though it glows with peace and joy. When the Sun of Bliss is beaming light and love upon my way, from the cross a radiance streaming adds more luster to the day. Bane and blessing, pain and pleasure by the cross are sanctified. Peace is there that knows no measure, joys that through all time abide. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime. From the days of the giving of the law, clear back in the book of Exodus, to the time of the death of Jesus Christ, on the cross, if you wanted any kind of relationship with God, you came through the Jewish nation. That's the way God wanted it, and that's the way it was. Yes, His people were a disappointment to Him, but they had the temple, they had the sacrifices, they had the blood offerings, they had the law. And if you wanted a relationship with God, that was the only way you can come. Through the cross, today, we have the church. And we have Jew and Gentile in one body, the church. Though they hated each other, and though they were at enmity with each other, and though the Jews in the early days of the gospel dispensation could hardly imagine being in fellowship with Gentiles in one body, it is the way it is. Let's look at the third chapter of Ephesians. We'll begin here. Ephesians 3, we'll read a few verses here. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner to Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, notice that. He's talking to the Gentiles. He calls himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He literally was that. And it was for the Gentiles. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given me to youward, that's a stewardship. He preached the gospel to the Gentiles. It was his calling. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. The mystery. The sacred secret. By revelation. God made this known to the Apostle Paul so he could share it with Jew and Gentile alike about the church. And if you notice, there's a parenthesis there at the verse as, clear down to the end of the fourth verse. We'll pass over that. The mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, in spiritual terms, this is earth shaking. Ever happened before? Yes, there was a calling the Gentiles prophesied. Yes, they were to be blessed with the Jews. But in one body, the church, Jew and Gentile alike, not known until it was preached and revealed here in the days of the New Testament. Remember the Apostle Paul, he was a dyed-in-the-wool Jew. He was the one that held the clothes of those that stoned Stephen. Very religious man. Nobody could hardly equal his zeal in religion. And he wanted to annihilate the church. That was his mission early on. He wanted to go to Damascus, and he wanted to bring all the Christians bound from Damascus back to Jerusalem, put them in jail, persecute them, kill them. He wasn't interested in them. That was his mission. And he had letters from the head Jewish people at Jerusalem to Damascus to take along, introducing himself as Paul, and his mission is to gather the Christians and bring them back that they might be persecuted here in Jerusalem. But as he went on his way, a light from heaven shone brighter than the noonday sun. A great phenomenon. We've seen the eclipse here the other day. Brighter than that. And that light from heaven shone, and there was a voice with it that Paul heard. Those that were with him didn't understand the voice. They thought it thundered. Paul heard it. Paul got on his knees. And the voice said, Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. In other words, you're going against the will that I have for your life. What do you want, Lord? He says, I want you to go into Damascus. And there I'll tell you what I want you to do. And he was blinded by that bright light. He couldn't see anything for 3 days. And so he went to Damascus, and there was a man there by the name of Ananias, and he was a believer. God instructed him, Paul is coming your way. I want you to go and baptize him. He's a chosen vessel to me. This is new to Paul. This is new to Ananias. I've heard of that man. He's a persecutor of the church. I don't want anything to do with him, in my own words. And God told Ananias, he's a chosen vessel to me. I want you to baptize him, and I have a work for him. And if you go over here to Acts, the ninth chapter, we ought to read that here a little bit. Ninth chapter of Acts. Look it down in the chapter here a little ways. Verse 15, the Lord said unto him, that's to Ananias, go thy way. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. God called Paul to preach to the Gentiles primarily, to preach to the Jews as well, and he told him that he was going to suffer for the message that he was going to take to the people. How How do you introduce a man like that to the church? He was there at the persecution of Stephen. God called him on the Damascus Road. Ananias baptized him. Sent him on his way. I think it was, go down here to verse 17. Ananias went his way and entered into his house. Putting his hands, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus appeared unto thee in the way when thou camest, has sent me to thee that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight, and he arose and was baptized, and he received strength from meat, and Saul was certain days with the disciples in Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. Now that's a miracle. That's amazing. Here's this man that came to gather up the Christians at Damascus, take them back to Jerusalem that they might be persecuted. Now he's baptized, and right away he's out there preaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And who's he preaching it to? He's preaching it in Damascus, the Gentile people. And this is the mystery of God, Jew and Gentile in one body. Gentiles had never been in there before. And the Jews were new in it. The church began at Jerusalem. We know that. He came to his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but of God. That's Jerusalem. That's the church. And it went on that way clear down in the book of Acts, clear to the verse chapter 10 and beyond that yet, that it was Jews only that were in the church. Let's go back here again to Ephesians 3. The mystery of the church. This cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation or the stewardship of the grace of God, which is given to me, the U-word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, skip down to chapter verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, now revealed unto his holy prophets and apostles by the Spirit, and here it is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The apostle Paul, after his conversion, was some 14 years before he really got out and did his work that God called him for. If you go back here to Galatians chapter 1, I call it the University of Arabia, God sent him to. Chapter 1 here in the book of Galatians. He talks about if anybody preaches any other gospel and so forth. But go down here to verse 11. He says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me was not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation is a direct giving of knowledge or telling of facts from God himself. Inspiration is when things come alive by the Spirit, but revelation is when God opens eyes and God gives facts. And he says, that's the way I received it. I was taught it by revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church and wasted it. This is what Paul was. He hated the church. He held the clothes of those that stoned Stephen. He hated the church. And on the Damascus Road, he was turned completely around. And now he preaches Christ. to the Gentiles and to Jews, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Hey, I got the law. This is the law. We need to live the law. You need to believe the law. You need to be circumcised. All this. You got to fulfill the provisions of the law. He might even have been a table pounder. But that was his message. The law, the law, the law. God turns him around. Now his message is the gospel, the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and raised again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, the beginning of the chapter. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, that's the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He went to be alone with God. I guess in my thinking, I would have wanted to go up to Jerusalem. What do you know about this gospel? What is it? What's the message? No, he went into Arabia immediately, he said. And he was there 3 years. Didn't go up to Jerusalem. 18, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. 2 weeks and better, he talked to Peter about the gospel. 3 years after he was converted. Afterward, I came into the region of Syria. Cilicia was unknown by face unto the churches in Judea, but they had only heard that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. And they glorified God in me. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem. This thing didn't happen overnight. He was hit with a vision. He was hit with a message. He was blinded. He was baptized. And immediately he began preaching Christ. But he had to learn a lot. He had to go to that school in Arabia that we talked about. 14 years now and another 3+. Now he's ready to go up to Jerusalem and ready to preach. Let's go back over to chapter 2 again of the Ephesians, and we got here a little bit this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about the Gentiles. Remember, these were not welcome except through the Jews in the days before the birth and the death of Jesus on the cross. You has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's the Gentiles, Paul writing to them. The mystery, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the Gentiles. That's Paul talking to the Gentiles. But along with the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul considers himself a sinner in the need of grace as well. We all had our conversation, or we all had our manner of living in this manner in the past. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Go over here to the book of Romans. We ought to hit on that a little bit. Chapter 5. Remember, we're talking about the mystery of the church. Go to verse chapter 6 of or verse 6 of chapter 5. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. This is Paul writing. He never thought this when he was steeped in the Jews' religion. But when we were yet without strength, that means we had not the ability to do anything about it. We couldn't be converted. We couldn't come to the Lord. We couldn't take the provisions of the gospel. We weren't eligible for them. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Mentioned that this morning. He didn't die for good people. He died for the ungodly. He died that we might lay our afflictions and our sins on him, and that he might remove them from us, being the perfect sacrifice. Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Might happen. Somebody give their life for somebody else. But God commends or shows forth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the same point that Paul is making to the Ephesians back here in the second chapter. Christ died for us when we were not worthy to die for. Go back to Ephesians here again, second chapter. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. The only way we're going to have that, the only way it's going to be demonstrated, is to be in the church. I'm not talking about denominations. I'm talking about being in the church. Our church is a denomination, a part of the greater church. We're talking about the church now when we talk about the mystery of the church. We're not talking about a mystery of a denomination. We have a denomination because we feel, according to the direction of the Holy Spirit, that we need to practice the way that we do. This is what we sometimes call the church, and we know what we're talking about when we say the church in Modesto. It's right here. But it's comprised of individuals who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ. We have a denomination. We have the church, the ministry of the church. Keep these separate. Keep the understanding of those separate. If you don't, you're going to be confused. The church is the church that Christ died for. And there's only one. It's the church, the one that we all belong to that are born again. And along with this, we live here shoulder to shoulder, brethren and sisters, in our denomination here, where we practice the graces that God has allowed us to have according to his word. Beautiful picture. But this was never possible before the mystery of the church was revealed. Let's go on down here. He has raised us up, verse 6, together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This isn't all of it that we have today. We're going home to glory. He's taken the church home. He's paid the price. He's bought us. We are his. We're redeemed. He owns us. Jew or Gentile doesn't matter anymore. One body in Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained then we should walk in them. A lot of people leave that verse off. It's all the same thing. Saved by grace, through faith, not of works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, that we might walk in them, and again that we might be lights to the world. Look down here at verse 11. Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Now we're getting to this mystery that's revealed here in chapter 3. You were Gentiles. You were not Jews. You are not of the blood of Abraham. You are not under the covenants that Israel had. You're Gentiles. The best thing you got to offer is heathen idols, and they go nowhere. Or you can be a proselyte and come into the Jewish religion before the time of the mystery of the church. That's the only thing you had to deal with, to work with. You call uncircumcision by the circumcision, which is made with hands. That's a derogatory term by the Jews toward the Gentiles. No blessing for you. And at that time, you were without Christ, so were the Jews, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You didn't have any claim on the promise to Abraham, unless you were part of the Jewish nation. You're Gentiles. You're out here somewhere else. Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. How hopeless can it be? That's where the Gentiles were before the mystery of the church is revealed. Remember what it said here in chapter 3? Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, skip the parentheses, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The Gentiles can be a part of the church. The Jews can be a part of the church. And they can be one in unity within the church. And there wasn't any church before the days before Pentecost and the days of the apostles, the early days of the scripture. This is big. This is really big. It's only one of the mysteries. You need to understand this. You need to know this. Don't be afraid of it. It's all right. It just opens up the mind and the plan of God to us so wide that we just continue to marvel and uphold him for his marvelous grace and the blessings he has given us. But now in Christ Jesus, verse 13, chapter 2, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Remember we sing about in the cross of Christ, high glory, towering over the wrecks of time, and about all the light of sacred story, whole Bible, gathers around its head, that's Jesus, sublime. Interesting, isn't it? How this story is so great and marvelous and wonderful, yet it's so simple. It's just right here. We have it today in the church. For he is our peace, that's Jesus, who has made both one. Who is that? That's the Jew and the Gentile. He's made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That basically was the law. It is typified by a wall that was around the temple area that the Gentiles could not go beyond. They could not enter into the holy part of the temple. Only Jews could go in that area. But he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. No separation anymore. all relationship with God today is through the church. It is. If you're a born-again believer, you're in the church. It's that simple, not hard. And you have that relationship with God that is revealed in this mystery, Jew and Gentile, in one body. He broken down the wall, middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. It's the only place in the Bible that I know that the church is referenced in the masculine gender. But it really isn't. I think the word for this is anthropos. It has to do with a human or human being. He has made one new man. That's the church. That's his body. That's what we're a part of. Jew and Gentile the same. What a blessing it is. To make in himself of twain, Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. This is how it's done. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross has been made once and for all. And the reconciliation is not God to us. The reconciliation is us to God. We are the ones that got the problem, not God. God is the one that gives love. God is the one that designed this mystery. God is the one that put all this together. And so we are reconciled, it says here, both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. That was that old hatred. The old Jews, you Gentiles don't have any place with God at all. You're not a part of the law. You're not keepers of. It's all gone. It's forever gone. Never coming back. Nothing there. That's what it was, though, before the mystery of the church. He has slain the enmity thereby and came, that's Jesus, and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Who's the ones that were close? They're the Jews. He came into his own. His own received him not. When they went out preaching the gospel after the day of Pentecost, they started up the coast of Judea. The Holy Land there started up the coast. The Bible says preaching the gospel to none but Jews only. Those are the ones that were nigh. They were close. They might have not been converts yet, but they were close. They had the first opportunity to be a part of the church. And then the Gentiles were behind that. You remember that guy named Cornelius? He was a soldier, a Roman soldier, 10th chapter of Acts. Good man. He had some kind of relationship with God through the Jews. We don't know for sure what it was, whether he was a convert or whether he was what they call a proselyte of the gate or whatever. We don't know. But anyway, he was a devout man and one that feared God always. Good man. He lived at Caesarea. He was praying one afternoon about 3 o'clock and an angel come into the room. Remember, this is not a Jew. This is a Gentile. An angel come into the room. And the message the angel had was, your alms, the blessings you're giving to the Lord, have come up for a memorial. That's what he told him. He didn't know what it meant. He said, send down there to Joppa to a man by the name of Peter. And he's going to come. You get him to come. And he will come up and he'll tell you what you need to know. 2 days walk down there. They went out, went on their way down to Joppa to find this man named Peter. He was lodging or living in a house called Simon the Tanner, a house by the seaside. Well, God's at work. While they were on their way down there, Peter goes up on the housetop. You might think that's kind of funny, but their houses were flat on the top. You go up there, you can reflect, you can relax. It was kind of a patio type of thing, and Peter was up there. They were preparing the noon meal down below. Peter was up there, and he got kind of hungry. Might have smelled good, I don't know. Noontime. Wanted something to eat. And while he was hungry, he fell into a trance. These are those things like we hear something and we don't want to respond right now. 5 seconds later, we'll bring it back up, but I don't want to deal with it right now. That's what a trance is like. You're over here somewhere in another issue or another idea. And Peter was in a trance and he saw a vision, it says. He seen this sheet coming down from heaven, and it was knit at the four corners, had a handle on the four corners of it. And it come down from heaven, and inside of it there was snakes, and there was cows, and there was pigs, and there was chickens, and there was all kind of stuff the Jews were forbidden to eat. And a voice from heaven said, "Rise, Peter, slay and eat." Peter, he's a Jew. Lord, I have never eaten anything like that. He says, "Nevertheless, Peter, you do what I say." 3 times that happened. Peter couldn't figure it out. Finally, they called downstairs and said, "Hey, there's some folks here to see you and dinner's ready. Come on down here." So he went down there and those emissaries told him their mission. Cornelius had sent him and wanted him to come and tell him what they needed to know from the Lord. So he lodged him there overnight and they headed out 2 days back up to Caesarea. Well, in the meantime, Peter, it was revealed to Peter what that meant, that sheet, really weird. They went on their way, they come to the house of Cornelius. He had gathered his close friends and acquaintances there. And he got down on the floor, bowed down to Peter. And Peter said, "Get up." He said, "I'm a man just like you are." Peter had a mission. He knew his calling. He knew the value of redemption. He knew about the church. And Peter was sent to the Jews. You realize that? Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Why didn't Paul go to the house of Cornelius? Remember that hatred? Remember that animosity between Jew and Gentile? Anyway, Peter entered into there, and Cornelius told him about the angel and told him about what happened and told him about how he had been instructed to send to him for that he might know what Peter would have to tell him. "And we're all here to hear you," said. So Peter talked about his vision. And he says that God showed me that there is nobody unclean. Jew and Gentile alike are fit for the body of Christ. That's the mystery of the church. Peter comes down, the one going to the Jews, and he goes to Cornelius, and he reveals this. And while Peter is talking about this, the Holy Spirit fell on that crowd of people. And Peter says, "Can any forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we? You know anywhere in the Bible that the Holy Spirit comes on anyone before they're baptized?" It did here. Big time. Because it's a big story and it's a big miracle. They had to go to Jerusalem, and sell this to the church at Jerusalem that the Gentiles were called to be a part of the body. That's why it happened this way. That's why they received the Holy Ghost and then they were baptized. And you go into the 11th chapter. Peter goes over all this. He took some brethren with him when he went there. He knew what was going to happen. He'd be called in question by the church. And those six brethren that went with him, they supported exactly what Peter said. It was just that way. We went to the house of Cornelius. The Holy Spirit fell on those, and they were baptized just that way. And then the church said, well, then God has accepted the Gentiles into the church. This was pretty big. First time it ever happened, really. Never heard of in the old days that they'd be in one body. Gentiles could come into the Jews. Gentiles would be called to share the blessings of the Jews someday, yet to come. And it was so tremendous. The 15th chapter of Acts, you remember that up in Antioch? Somebody said you got to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses to be saved. They brought it down there to Jerusalem, 15th chapter of Acts. They worked it out down there. No such thing. Abstain from fornication, from things strangled, and from idols, and from blood. Now let's go back to that third chapter again in Ephesians. Verse 16, for that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. That one body is the church. We know what the cross is. Having slain the enmity, got rid of the bitterness. Paul now is a Christian. He's brother to Peter in the church and so on. It's all gone now. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers, you Ephesians. You're no more strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. To speak in scriptural terms, that's earth-shaking, what the Bible teaches here. It's the mystery of the church, you and Gentile, in one body. That includes us. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows up by a holy temple in the Lord, in whom we are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. What a blessing. What a truth. What a marvelous demonstration of the grace of God. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Verse 6, chapter 3. And of the same body, and partakers of his promise by the gospel. And Paul goes on here to say, whereof I am made a minister, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me by the effectual working of his power. He was rejoicing over this. Unto me, who am less than least in all saints, is this great grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He hated the Gentiles. He was going to bring them into judgment, kill them. Now he says, I'm so blessed that I can preach among the Gentiles the riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. Remember those mysteries? They're hid in God. They're revealed now. You can figure them out. Get in the Word. God wants you to know them. They were hid in God who created all things in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The angels were rejoicing in heaven today because six more came into the church of God. Notice what it says here, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. the Jew and Gentile in the same body, the body of Christ, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. Deep water? Not a bit. You got the verses, go back and look at them. Very simple. Third chapter of Ephesians, eighth chapter, tenth chapter of Acts, ninth chapter of Acts. It's all in there. By the church might be known the manifold wisdom of God. Here we are. Members of the body of Christ, members of the church. We take that too light sometimes. And maybe we're not looking far enough to see what the church really is. The church is the body of Christ. It is. We say that and we believe that. This bread represents the body of the Lord Jesus. These are big terms, but they're terms we can understand. And they have such a beauty to them and such a warmth to them. And it's for us, those redeemed, that we might know the assurance of our salvation. And we might have the peace of God in our hearts that passes all understanding. And you know what? The joy is right there with it. We commend you to God in the word of his grace, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among all those that are sanctified.